We celebrated the 25th anniversary of the creation of the World Wide Web last week by one system of measurement. Happy belated birthday, Internet. While Internet users celebrate contributions the web has brought to our lives over that last quarter century, many are concerned about the growing challenges to the open and free nature of the Internet.
That includes the creator of the Internet as we know it, Tim Berners-Lee, who last week called for an Internet Bill of Rights to protect the freedom of its users. Our next guest echoes that call, and he's here to tell us why he thinks we need to formalize Internet neutrality and privacy, and what the next 25 years might hold for us if the web, if that doesn't happen.
Joining us now is Clint Finley. He's a writer for Wired. Clint, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Well, to understand the concept of a free Internet, we have to kind of go back to the beginning. Can you tell us about Tim Berners-Lee and his original vision for the web?
Sure. The Internet actually existed before what Tim Berners-Lee's built, but What he wanted was a system for linking academic documents together, and the big thing was that he decided to make it a completely open system so that you didn't need to be an academic, you didn't need to be someone associated with a particular institution or a business, and that all of the software for it was free, both in terms of the price, but also in terms of it being something that anybody could use for whatever purpose they wanted. And so that's how we got the web of today, that can be used in so many different ways, far beyond what he ever originally imagined it being used for.
So Berners-Lee had in mind this completely open system. What has happened since then that we now find ourselves in a position where he's saying we need an Internet Bill of Rights?
Well, a couple things. In some countries, China is the most famous example with their great Internet firewall of China that does some heavy-handed censorship, blocking, blacklisting certain websites so that people can't access the information that they want to access. There's also a growing concern here in the United States about something called network neutrality, which is the idea that all traffic on the Internet should be treated equally regardless of where it's coming from or going. So the most recent example is Netflix, which sends quite a bit of traffic through their streaming video service, and whether they should have to pay more than, say, Google pays to send email through the network. So should some companies have to pay more than others? Network neutrality insists everybody, all traffic should be treated the same on the web, on the Internet. But some companies are starting to question that in modern times.
With this idea of an Internet Bill of Rights, where would that be? We've got a patchwork of international agreements. Individual countries have their own laws. I imagine the United Nations is in there somewhere. Who would maintain and enforce an Internet Bill of Rights?
Yeah, that's an open question. I don't think anyone has a good answer for that yet. It's actually enforcing anything like this would be extremely difficult. It would be really difficult to get countries to really agree on what they want to have be a part of it. In the U.S., the government's faced a lot of criticism over the past few months since Edward Snowden's NSA revelations about the size and scope of the U.S. government's surveillance of the Internet. And I don't think the U.S. is going to be interested in giving that up quite yet. I don't think China is going to be enthused about the idea of giving up their firewall. So actually getting all the big players to the table and actually agreeing on something that's enforceable is a tall order. That said, I think something along the lines of an international trade agreement would probably be the most realistic way of accomplishing something like this, though thus far most of the trade agreements have actually been more on the restrictive side of things, trying to do copyright enforcement that some people think could actually enable censorship. But it is a way of creating some transnational agreements regarding the Internet.
Do you think there's enough cohesion around the idea of an open internet, sort of in the vein of what Tim Berners-Lee envisioned, that we could even agree on what would go into that Bill of Rights?
Well, I think in the U.S. and the West, there's pretty broad agreement in terms of what individuals want. The NSA spying is initially people were pretty divided about it, but as time has gone on, as more documents have become public, according to Pew Internet Research, the public sentiment has been generally shifting against the NSA. There was Consumer Reports did a survey that found that consumers overwhelmingly prefer net neutrality. I think it would be harder to say what people in say China or Russia or Egypt, Iran, places like that, what the citizens there would prefer. And then, of course, what governments prefer is an entirely different story altogether.
Since the beginning of the internet, there's been an almost utopian idea of using the internet to bring together the creative power of everyday people. Are you worried if we don't see a movement like this Bill of Rights that people are going to be, I guess, scared off, not wanting to participate in an internet that doesn't match that vision?
I don't know. I think people, creative people, will be excited to use the internet and use technology to collaborate and to create things. It might be harder to find an audience if something like YouTube is more tightly regulated, or if it costs a lot of money to get access to it. Part of what's been exciting about the internet is not just the opportunities for creative people to create things, but for them to actually find an audience through the system. I mean, I'm sure people will continue to use the internet, but what they're able to find and how much it costs them to access things might change significantly.
In a kind of doomsday scenario about what could happen if some modicum of openness and freedom of speech and all of that stuff isn't preserved and protected, what would happen? What is the worst thing that could happen to the internet, say, 20 years down the road?
Well, one possibility is that we would have, instead of having one internet, we would have multiple different internets. So there might be the internet that has Netflix on it and the internet where you can only do email and that sort of thing. I think that's one of the more scary possibilities. One of the great things about the internet thus far is that if you have, no matter who your email provider is, you can send an email to somebody else with a different provider. So if I have Gmail and you have Hotmail, we can send email to each other. In the era of stuff like Facebook, and this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with an Internet Bill of Rights, but a Facebook user can't just send a message to a Twitter user. But this idea could kind of start to go further if we really start to see fracturing of the internet, where there's different levels of access that different people have. There's a question of whether your traffic could even jump from one internet to another in a situation like that. So people would be much more cut off rather than connected.
This idea of an Internet Bill of Rights is just part of a bigger campaign, I gather, called Web at 25. There's another campaign called The Web We Want, pursuing some similar goals. What can you tell us about these campaigns?
Let's see. Not a whole lot. I haven't been involved in those campaigns. I know the Web We Want is actually trying to get an actual document together that would be an Internet Bill of Rights, and I'm not sure how they would actually try to implement that. But I think they're starting with that first step of what would we actually want in an Internet Bill of Rights, and they've mentioned network neutrality. Better guarantees in terms of access to the internet, It's in a lot of places, high speed internet or any internet at all is not yet available or not available at a price that people can afford. So those are some of the things that they're working on right now.
We're talking with Wired magazine writer Clint Finley about why he thinks the internet needs a Bill of Rights. And we want to hear from you, too. Do you think this is a good idea? Is some sort of Bill of Rights needed to protect internet freedom? What rights would you include? And what worries you the most about the internet now? Is it government surveillance, censorship around the world, corporate control, ending net neutrality? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on our Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking about protecting the internet and internet freedom with Clint Finley, writer for Wired, and he's echoing the call made by internet founder Tim Berners-Lee last week, who said what we need is an internet bill of rights. And what do you think? Is this a good idea? Do you think there are things that need to be protected? Are you worried about things like corporate control, net neutrality, free speech limitations? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send your email to talk@WPR.org. And Clint, who would be driving, do you think, a call for a Bill of Rights for the internet? Would it have to come from the big stakeholders, or would this be coming from the ground up?
I think that it's going to have to come from the ground up. Like I said, a lot of the stakeholders actually are against some of the things that we've been talking about. The United States government doesn't necessarily want an end to surveillance. The Chinese government doesn't necessarily want an end to censorship. The large telecommunications companies don't want to be told that they have to enforce network neutrality if they don't want to. So I do think it's going to have to come from the citizenship.
Are people riled up about this enough? You mentioned the Pew research showing that people aren't happy with the NSA, but is this just a case where if we get enough kittens online, we'll be happy, we'll be not worried enough to really get out and be activists on an issue like this?
Yeah, that's a good question. The Consumer Reports survey actually showed that something like 10% of internet users would actually be willing to stop using the internet altogether if network neutrality was violated. And the vast majority of them said they would switch to another internet provider if their internet provider started treating traffic in different ways. So there's a case to be made that people would be upset by this. I think we haven't reached whatever threshold that is yet.
Let's go to our phones right now. We've got John on the line from Rhinelander. Hi, John.
Hi. We've been using Facebook mostly to organize and fight this the mine they want to build in the Pinokies up here, and it's been pretty effective. Every event that we hold, we put it on video on our page, and then people comment on it right away, and we also get more people up to the camp to participate. It's been real effective, but I am afraid that if the internet starts getting restricted, they'll just steer it in a corporate way into commercial applications, and we won't have that free platform anymore.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call, John. And Clint, let's look at corporate control a little more closely. Is that something that a lot of people, including Tim Berners-Lee, are concerned about, that the corporations who are the big stakeholders in the internet right now could limit free speech and could limit the ease in which people can talk to each other and communicate?
Yeah, it's a big concern right now on the topic of Facebook. And I don't think, again, this might not fall under the sort of things that they're talking about having as part of the Internet Bill of Rights, but Facebook uses algorithms to determine what actually shows up in your feed. So if you're following some political causes and you're expecting to see updates from those causes in your feed, if the algorithm for some reason is tuned to not show you those updates, then you're not going to see them. And I think that's the broader issue with all of this stuff, whether it's network neutrality or the open web, is often not that somebody wouldn't be able to put their their campaign videos online, but that people won't be able to find them or access them once they've been put up somewhere.
Well, but Twitter and Facebook have been used in protests around the world, tangentially at least in North Africa with the Arab Spring and elsewhere. And there are concerns in a lot of countries that governments are looking to have a kill switch. When there's times of discontent, they can just flip the switch and turn off their citizens' ability to communicate in those ways. How important an issue is that in the next couple of decades?
That's a big deal outside of the U.S. where that's a much more likely scenario. It actually did happen in Egypt, for example, and that definitely is something that would be that would fall under the Internet Bill of Rights idea, is that you would, and that's where I think a trade agreement could actually be an effective thing there. Where if you would tell a government, tell a country that if they shut down the internet, then they're going to face fines or embargoes or something of that nature.
Well, I think a lot of internet activists and hackers, if we can use that phrase here, aren't holding the breath for governments and corporations to do that. Are there things that people are doing, can do, to try to protect at least some of their internet communication rights, their privacy, that sort of thing?
Well, there's a lot of technologies out there, encryption tools that you can use protect your communications. A lot of people are interested in hosting their own websites instead of putting things on Facebook now, because they have more control over things like that. There's only so much, only so far you can go, though, when the networks are actually owned by large corporations or controlled, or that are subject to the laws of their nations. But, you know, there are things that you can do to route around some of that.
Well, in that same vein, the internet, since its inception, has sort of had this feel of the Wild West, where the rules are being made on the fly and it's very loosely organized. Is an internet bill of rights the wrong way to go because it's going through such mainstream channels? Do we need to be looking at something else? People who believe in this, should they be looking at something that is more subversive and doesn't go through those same channels?
There's a case to be made for that. Actually, another possibility would be what's called mesh networks, wireless mesh networks, that would actually just completely do away with the need to communicate over the expensive internet pipes that are owned by the large telecommunications companies. The problem is that those would be a lot less reliable. You would be dependent on a large enough number of people adopting that platform, and it would be entirely wireless and running from smaller wireless hardware than, say, the big network towers that companies like Verizon own for cell networks. But it is another option.
That would, it sounds like, get around worries over free speech and censorship and maybe corporate control. That sounds like it would probably still be subject to surveillance, surveillable, I guess. Would that be right?
Right. Though if it's also encrypted, then there's only so much that the government can find out. But the flip side of that is there's still only so much you can hide through surveillance. And in a lot of ways, this could end up being a lot like pirate radio or pirate television, where the government could try to crack down on it by figuring out where the signals are coming from and arresting people for operating the equipment. Or they could also try to jam the signals, that sort of thing. So it's not a perfect solution either.
You mentioned earlier that 10% of people said they would be willing to stop using the internet if conditions reached a certain point. Would we ever see such a thing as, I don't know, a worldwide internet strike? And even if there were lots of people who'd be willing to be mobilized, would it matter?
I don't know. It would matter to a company like Facebook or Twitter that is dependent on, you know, getting eyeballs in front of their advertisements. I hadn't thought about the idea of a strike like that. But if it gained enough momentum, you know, it could have an effect. I don't know if enough people would actually be willing to give up the internet. I mean, what people say in a survey isn't necessarily reflective of what they'll actually be willing to do when it comes down to it.
You mentioned earlier some maybe worst cases for the next 20, 25 years. What would your vision be, your maybe not utopian, but your best possible scenario be for the next quarter century of the internet?
I think, just more of the same would be a pretty optimistic scenario. It would mean that things don't improve in some places, but just if things don't get any worse than they are now, I don't know. That sounds a little bit pessimistic, but things aren't terrible for most people right now. So just maintaining that baseline would be good. With the exception of expanding, I do think access needs to be expanded in say rural America, as well as a lot of the rest of the world where people just don't have access. But just maintaining the status quo in general would be, I think even that much would be a victory at this point.
Clint, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Clint Finley. He's a writer at Wired Magazine. We've been talking to him about a call for an internet bill of rights.